sweet the sound. Oh, that sound. To be back in church tonight. How many of you glad to be back at camp meeting? Amen. It's just a tremendous privilege that the Lord has given us once again to enter into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. How many of you come to praise Him and give Him thanks tonight? How many of you know He's worthy of every bit you give Him? We don't praise Him near like what He's worthy of, do we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give me one big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. We're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. Oh, wear a bright and shiny crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. We're gonna wear a crown. We're gonna wear a crown. Amen. Why don't you shake hands with somebody around you tonight? Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is to be in God's house tonight. Amen. We're going to wear a crown. Praise the Lord. I'll guarantee you one thing. There ain't nobody happier to be here tonight than Sister Jan Winters. God bless you, Sister Winters. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. Give her a real good hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Certainly appreciate her sister being able to be in the house of the Lord. Well, it's just good to be a Christian, isn't it? Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. I would run just a little bit late tonight. Ask Brother Jim Babb if he would take care of the prayer requests. I want him to come and read those to you and lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these needs tonight. We're serving a tremendous, wonderful, risen Savior. Amen. Love Brother Jim, don't we? Amen, brother.
You can go ahead and stand with me if you would. We just have very few requests. Brother Gene Lehman, if you'll lead us in prayer when we get through reading this. First one is Sister Joanna Tessa. I'm having eye surgery tomorrow afternoon and would like the saints to remember me in prayer. She loves you all, so let's remember Sister Tessa, that God will be with her in that surgery. Brother Greg Robbins is down with his back tonight and unable to be in church. Also, his wife, Sister Shirley, is not doing well, so both of them are very much in need of prayer. This is turned in by Sister Linda Jablonski. I want to thank the Lord and my Christian family for praying for my sister. God has answered her request. Also, I want to thank the Lord for all of my trials and blessings that He sends to me. I love the Lord no matter what He decides for my life, and I love you all. That's turned in by Sister Linda, so we thank God for the needs that her sister, whatever they may have been. Also, I don't have a written request. Continue to remember Sister Sharon Ward. I know they desire prayers and a lot of needs in her body. Brother Keith is doing better. I think he's got a little better report that he may be sharing later. And remember your neighbor. All of us have needs. Not a bench here that is not full of needs. So remember them all. So Brother Gene, if you'd come, lead us, Lord, in prayer.
Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to bow our hearts before you tonight. We want to come and invite you into this service tonight, this night. Lord, we want you to have your way in our hearts and life today. If we don't put in, we won't get anything out, Lord. We realize and know that. So we thank you today, God, that you give us the opportunity once more this side the river that we can come and honor and praise you, Lord, and thank you for all that you do for us. So many times we fail that, Lord. We fail to give you all the honor that we need, Lord, to give you the praise, Lord, that we need. Sometimes we're kind of slack, Lord, in our worship, Lord. But we know that you're still God. We know you still love us. You know that you still make a way, Lord. Even when it don't look like, Lord, you're making a way, you always make a way, Father. And, Lord, there's many needs here tonight, Father. And we've heard many of them, Lord, tonight, God, that needs, Lord, attention tonight, God, that only you can give. No one else can do it, God. It was with your stripes we're healed, Father. And, Lord, we know, God, that you're able, Lord. We talked to Brother Keith, and Lord, maybe he's going to say something about it, but Lord, just how you've moved in his life, Lord. And Lord, Sister Sharon Ward, Lord, I know, God, that you're able to touch and meet the very need of her body, Lord. Brother Jackie Benton, Lord, he's been on my heart for long, many days, God, Lord, just knowing, God, he's not been in the house of God. And I know that would be his desire, Father, to be here. And many of these other needs, God, I know they're serious, Lord. There's people here, God, that's standing in this congregation. I know, God, that needs a touch in their body, Father. We pray tonight, God. May you have the uttermost seed in our life, Lord. May the word of God tonight, Lord, may it just prick our hearts, Father, Lord. Lord, I just want to say thanks, God, for the series that Brother Donnie's preached, Lord, on the prodigal son, Lord. I didn't know this elder's brother was such a hindrance, God. I knew he was a hindrance, but Lord, how he gets in our way so many times, Lord, and stops and hinders and keeps us, Lord, from pushing forward, Lord, the way we should. So we just ask now, God, that you'll meet the need of each one, God, that's here, that has got a need in their body, in their life, Father. Guide and direct us now. Bless the service, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Brother King. God bless you. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight and receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. We had a wonderful, wonderful time here over the weekend, didn't we? Do you appreciate the Word of God? Is it getting sweeter and greater in your life all the time? Somebody say hallelujah. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. I want to sing a song tonight. Before we do, let me make an announcement. Sister Betty Roberts, her niece, Sister Gina Carver McCool, has recorded a new CD. And Sister Gina comes from a wonderful apostolic holiness family and precious mother and father. That CD, Sister Betty and Brother Jack, where are y'all at tonight? Raise your hands. Well, I can't see you, but I think, are they here? Where are they at? Right back here. They have those CDs with them. I'll have some with me. Brother Jim Babb will have some with him. If you'd like to pick one of those up, I know that it'll be a blessing in your home. And I believe she's scheduled to sing at the Happy Valley High School graduation ceremonies in a couple, 3 weeks. So if you'd like to pick one of those up, just see those folks that I call their names and we'll have those for you. Let's sing a song tonight. Oh, happy day. You know what? A lot of folks like look back at the good old days or the sweet by and by. We're living right now. This is the happiest day you'll ever live in right now. I'm talking about in this present life. You're feasting on the undying Word of God. It's never dead. It's never dull. It's fresh all the time. Are you proud to be identified with it? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Oh, happy day. Yes, oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. My sins away. Oh, happy day. He taught me how to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Sins away. Aren't you glad about it tonight, church? He taught me how to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Sin.
Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. And ever since that day, it's been a happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away.
Amen. Let's sing this little chorus together tonight as we get ready to change the service. Sister Jessica Benton, she has a song for us tonight. She'll come onto the platform. Remember how they have that worked out? She'll come onto the platform at this time. Let's sing this little chorus together. It's Jesus that I really want to see. You know what? I've seen about all this world I care to see. How about you tonight? It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, the more I see of this old world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. This whole world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see.
Amen. You can be seated. Give Sister Jessica a nice hand. Grace that's still amazing. I'll dance
lost at last. And you are the God who always takes me back. Take me home to a place I'll know soon, where sin and sorrow cannot go, and all your family forever standing in the glory of the God who takes us back. Grace that's still amazing. I'll dance like a child before the King, and I'll shout like I've heard it for the first time. You have come to save the lost at last. So I will sing of a grace that's still amazing. Takes me back. You are the God, you always take me back.
Tamika was scheduled to sing tonight, but I believe, if it's all right with her, I'm going to save her till Saturday night. So long as she promised to sing, Mercy Said No again. That song it's a tremendous blessing every time she sings it. And we're going to save her till Saturday night. That's all right. Let's stand. It's time to go on into the service tonight. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that with all your heart? How many of you plan on being ready? By God's grace, I believe we're going to make it, don't you? Amen. Let's sing that chorus tonight, just any day now. It's probably a little bit high. Just any day now, our Lord is coming. He'll be
is shaken, having spasms. The scientists are saying that the San Andreas is locked and ready to go. So are we. It's locked. We're sealed. Praise God. Amen. We're here, friends. We have arrived. Just any day. Amen. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 6. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. So grateful to the presence of the Lord where we can gather together again. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. He said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. Be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Isn't it amazing how that prophecy can be so strange in the way that it comes forth? Now, when you hear something, you just heard prophecy, you know that. But whenever you hear it, it's veiled in symbols, veiled in parables. And a person would read it and think, what in the world does all that even mean? And yet it's prophetic. So prophetic and so accurate, but only accurate when you know what to judge it by. Right. You see, you look at it and you try to figure it out and say, well, I don't even understand why this missed and that missed. Many times when people look at it, it's because they don't know what to measure it by. So when we look at prophecy, prophecy must be understood right before we can even determine if it's come to pass or not.
Amen.
Amen. I made a lot to be remembered before the Lord in prayer. I'd like you to remember Carol tonight. We went down to Kentucky on Sunday to see her mother, and she got sick while we were there. So I'd like you to remember her tonight as well. Also, Brother Homer Frazier, had to have surgery yesterday. Very, very lengthy surgery. 7-8 hours, something like that. I never did hear exactly the length of it. But they've determined that he had some contaminated things that was in his body from his other surgeries. So they had to take all that stuff out. Took several units of blood last night during the surgery and also afterwards. And I know they would appreciate our prayers tonight. Amen. Also, I was contacted today by, I won't go into the details of the request, but just someone who's needing prayer tomorrow. Not anybody here with us, but someone a long way away from here. And you raise your hand. I know God is mindful of every one of us. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we have the opportunity through prayer to be able to approach the throne of grace. Lord Jesus, we want to bring these needs and requests before you. Father, I'm thinking tonight, Lord, of that brother down in Brazil. Lord Jesus, that certainly needs your touch. Lord, we know that you're a mighty God and your power is so great. Lord, we thank you tonight. Father, Brother Robert Marrero was able to come home out of the hospital and you moved from him. We're just asking you to continue to move for our brother. Lord, Carol at home tonight not feeling well. I pray that you just touch her, Lord. Dear God, you see Brother Frazier, this need in his body. Heavenly Father, I know that you're mindful of our brother. May the presence of God just be with him, strengthen him, touch him tonight. Heavenly Father, you see this other need and request of these saints of this situation tomorrow. We're asking you, Lord, that Judah would go before them, the praise of God, and the outcome of this will be to your honor and glory. Heavenly Father, we ask you that you be mindful of all the needs that was represented by the hands that was uplifted tonight. We pray that you'd help us in this service, that you'd speak to us by your word. May you take the symbols and the parabolic meanings of your word, make it plain and simple, Father, that our faith might be ignited, Lord, that we can be uplifted and benefited by our gathering together and our time here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. It's hard for most of us to be able to understand the ability of prophetic utterance. Most of us have never prophesied. Maybe some of you, the Spirit of God has moved upon you and allowed you to speak in tongues, and another would interpret what you spoke in a language which was either an angelic language or a language of men. And the Spirit of God interpreted what you had to say, or maybe God gifted you in both ways, whether it was a lasting gift in your life or something that came upon you, maybe once in your life or five times in your life and it was gone. And you spake something prophetic, something that was unbeknownst to you. God's going to do this and this and this. But that would be a total different thing from what we're looking at here tonight, that as Moses is speaking under the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy to most of us, it's a mysterious thing. We really don't understand it. We try to read it in the Bible and understand how these people must have felt. We have a little bit of an idea because of how that God would let them get under that, and then they would come back and tell us how that God allowed Brother Branham to tell us how it must have felt whenever he'd have visions. He would move over into another dimension or another realm, and something would take his voice and take his body. It would give him, as he called, a temporary resurrection, as he would yield his body to the Spirit of God, and it would give him a temporary resurrection, and it would be able to lift him into a sphere or a dimension by which he would see beyond his own ability, his own sight, his own understanding, and say things that was totally peculiar to him. And yet it would utter things out of his mouth, and he would come back to himself, and then you could hear him as he's making the transition. Was that true? Was what he said to you, was that true? Was that right? And I said, I won't know what I said until I go back and listen to the tape tomorrow. Now that gives us a little bit of an insight of how that this prophetic realm would work. And this is what Moses is experiencing as he, as a prophet of God, in the very last day of his life, is uttering these things of what God is going to do with all of these tribes. Now he's going to, by the spirit of prophecy, harmonize with what God has already said with Jacob. Yet what God said about these tribes through Jacob was worded a little bit different, but yet it will come together and focus to the exact same purpose of what God has in his mind, which is, of course, the way we know prophecy will do. God may have Jeremiah to prophesy about a certain time frame on an event of the life of the children of Israel. And he might allow Ezekiel to come and prophesy of the same time frame, but yet Ezekiel would say it in a certain way, and he would mention things about the characteristics and the traits of the times and say it in a little bit different way than what Jeremiah would say. And it was exactly the same thing about the coming of the Messiah. And we know that the messianic prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus was said over a span of many, many hundreds and even thousands of years. God himself was the first one to utter that messianic voice, and that was in Genesis 3:15. And he called him a serpent bruiser. In Genesis 49:10, he called him by the name of Shiloh. And he would say in Jeremiah, and he would say in Ezekiel, and he'd say in Zechariah 6:12 and Zephaniah 3. And he would say these things prophetically, but yet here they are without prophetic understanding. They would try to take them scriptures and read them and say, well, how does this fit, and does that fit with that one? And you're dealing with two messianic comings, so they didn't know where this prophecy fit at the first advent or the second advent. You can see why that people would totally misunderstand prophecy. So in looking at prophecy, then we know that it takes one with prophetic understanding to be able to put it together, or we will totally miss the whole thing. Who would have ever took Isaiah 61 and divided that verse in half and put a span of 2,000 years from the first part of that verse being fulfilled to the second part of that verse being fulfilled, whenever the verse itself did not say a lapse of time 2,000 years. Whenever the verse went from one word to another, you'd never even know that the lapse of time was there. How would you know it? It would take one with prophetic understanding, or you
would read it and say, that was a false prophet. It never come to pass the way he said. Because they would take it without understanding and say, well, according to what Isaiah said, it's supposed to happen this and this and this and this. Little did they know, it would be 2,000 years, an increment of 2,000 years in between the dividing of time in that verse. Now, it's the same way in what Moses is saying here prophetically about the people of God. Now, remember, once God ever says something, God can never take that word back. But God can implement and add to that prophetic word of something that will embellish that word and make that word more real. Now, God does have the ability of taking what would seem like that would be a cursing, or of something that would seem like it would be absolutely, that would be terrible. And he would allocate it in such a way that in the lapse of time, from the time that it said, and several hundred years thereafter, that certain ones could come in and fall in harmony with that word. And yet God would be able to take that word, not change it from what he originally said, but turn that very thing that seemed like a cursing into a blessing. Now I know you're looking at me and think, what in this world is he saying? But remember, God can never lie. You believe that? So when prophets spoke, thus saith the Lord, they cannot say one thing and come back and say something else. And God is ever mindful of his word, and God is watchful about his word. Whenever God sent the prophet Isaiah to tell the king, you're going to die and not live, thus saith the Lord. And when the king gets out and the old Mount Isaiah rather leaves, and the king turns his face to the wall, he begins to cry and say, God, I can't do it. Now, I've got all this to take care of. I just can't do it. Lord, please be merciful to me. And the Spirit of God moves on that prophet, turns him right back around, and sends him right back in. God's heard your prayer. You're not going to die. You're going to live. Did God change his mind about his word? No, absolutely not. He simply put a delay on the word which was prophesied, because the answered prayer of this king only delayed the ultimate of what was going to come to pass anyway. So God never changed his mind about his word. Now, we'll see the same thing now about the tribe of Levi. That this prophecy was given about Levi and his brother Simeon. And it was after their anger and being so mischievous and their murderings and the things that they had done. And yet the word of God coming through Jacob would seem as if so, it would have bring this tribe of Levi to annihilation. But there were people in the tribe of Levi who were prophetically inspired. Now please don't misunderstand me. Listen carefully. They were prophetically inspired by the breath of God. But they did not have a word, a prophecy from Jacob that seemingly would inspire them to do what they felt led of God to do. Now as I said last week, if you were born in the tribe of Joseph, if you were born in the tribe of Judah, if you were born in the tribe of Benjamin, or English term Benjamin, then it would seem as if so, that was the very blessed tribes of God. They were so blessed and they would found such favor in the eyes of God. But what if you were born in the tribe of Reuben? What would you have done? If you were born in the tribe of Simeon, and basically you become assimilated into the rest of the tribes and you lost pretty much your tribal identity. Or if you were born in the tribe of Levi, and prophetically your father Jacob had said you will be divided among the tribes of Israel. Basically, you'll amount to nothing. You'll never be nothing, and that's the way it is. But yet you felt inspired of God beyond yourself. It would seem as if though prophecy was against every member of that tribe. But yet the Spirit of God by prophetic inspiration cannot inspire people in an opposite direction from prophecy which has been inspired, which is the Word. You understand? So God cannot anoint Moses. God cannot anoint Aaron. God cannot anoint anoint Phinehas. God cannot anoint some of these others that are born in the tribe of Levi and set them in a prophetic way if there's no way for them to redeem that tribal name and order. So God made a way that the prophecy coming from Jacob would be turned right around by these men, yet seemingly looking at it with a carnal mind to think, there's no need for me to try. There's no need for me to even do anything for God. I've come out of the tribe of Levi. I'll never be nothing. I'll never amount to God. Nothing to God. That's why I'm afraid some of us look at our natural births or some of the doctrines we come out of. Well, I've come from this and that and the other. I'll never amount to God. You feel the pull of God on your soul? I don't care what your family name is. I don't care what your color is, what your race is, or nothing else. God will not inspire you to call you to eternal life if there's something in the Word of God that says you can't come. If you're inspired to be saved, you ought to let God save you. If you're inspired to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you ought to let God fill you. If you're inspired to be revelated, oh hallelujah, to the Word of God, you ought to let God revelate you. Oh, but my daddy done this, and my grandpa, I'm not saying none of that. What I'm saying is, God cannot, by prophetic inspiration, ever inspire any of His elect contrary to the written Word. But it will take understanding to bring the Word and the other together. You know, people get out and get their lives messed up and they do this and that and the other. And people say, well, there ain't no hope for them. They can't be saved. This is one thing I always come back to. If the Spirit of God is dealing with an individual and I see Him drawing them, they're not coming to church because they're afraid they're going to hell. They're not coming to church because they really feel bad about what they've done. But the Spirit of God is dealing with them. My Father does not hang eternal life before anybody and shake it like a carrot before a horse. So if God is dealing with them and God is offering them eternal life and God is offering to them a part of His substance of His revelation, I'm going to treat them like a brother or sister. It's up to God to work out the particulars. Come on, children. Now, it may look like in the Word, boy, they've crossed the line. They've done this, that, that. They, nobody knows who's crossed the line but God. I'm glad about that tonight. Me and you might say, well, this and cross the line, that and cross the line. There ain't none of us got access to that Lamb's Book of Life. None of us knows who's bride. None of us knows who's church. None of us knows who's lost. Well, praise the Lord. Well, whoever in the world that was for. Notice now, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 8. Now let's go to the blessing of Levi. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Now remember thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Now this is the order of God that God is now speaking to Moses. But let's backtrack now in Genesis 49:5. And let's see what Jacob said now about the tribe of Levi. Remember, prophecy can never contradict itself, but it must come together. But in its coming together, sometimes there is an understanding that would seem contrary to the carnal mind. So the carnal mind will look at it and say, that ain't right. That's contrary to this. That's contrary to that. Now watch. Genesis 49:5. Jacob speaking. He said, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Now, of course, Reuben's costly sin was lust. He went into his father's concubine. But now Simeon and Levi, we see them being the cause of their unbelief. And the way that they handled this, and many of you remember the story, of course, it was whenever Shechem, his son, had went and took Dinah, their daughter, and he had humbled her and lay with her. And then they come up with this conniving plan that they said, well, you cannot marry our daughters unless you be circumcised. So they said, if you be circumcised, and then we'll make marriages with you, and you can do this. And then after these full-grown men were circumcised, and the fever set in, then Levi and Simeon got together with the rest of their brothers, and they went over there, and they began to act absolutely work havoc. Now, was it wrong what this guy did to Dinah, their sister? It was absolutely wrong. But it's amazing how that God looks at retribution, and how that it should have been administered even under the law. Now, the law did not allow them to do whatever they wanted to do out of anger, but the law was going to give them the right way in order to bring retribution for sin. And these men are actually going to be punished and divided. Not only them, but tens of thousands of their seed are going to inherit this because of the excessive amount of cruelty that was displayed. Now, was these men wrong for laying with their sister? Yes, he was. But the way they went about dealing with it was just as wrong, if not more so. Now, Israel was the called out of God. They're supposed to live in a higher plane than these people over here. Come on now. They were supposed to live in a different way. What would God have done? Maybe God would have given them the right judgment. All right, I want you to go over there, and I want you to destroy this man and his house, and that's it. But that's not all they done. You see, in their anger, they got so upset and so angry, and now they come, now this murdering thing comes on them in the heat of their rage. And you look at Jacob and what he says, and he says, look, notice this verse, he said, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Now, they're not just brethren in the sense that they come from the same mother and the same father, but they are brethren or kindred of spirit. This is the way Jacob is linking them together. Now, you see why prophetically when Jacob says what he does, that God says they've got to be dispersed among the tribes. Because if you let them stay together, if you let them camp side by side, if you let them stay this way, they'll cause one problem after another, after another, after another. God said, no, don't let them do it, Jacob. Disperse them among the whole tribes because they are men of the same spirit. Boy, I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. You realize that's what happens many times to our kids. That's what happens to some of you adults. You get hooked up to the wrong people that have the wrong spirit on them. Well, praise the Lord. And that's why sometimes God may have to allow you to lose your job in order to get you away from Simeon, someone who's got the same spirit on that you got on you. And he loves you because he wants to help you and protect you. Oh my. So in their anger, what are they doing? They're carrying revenge to such an extreme. And God absolutely hates what they have done. Notice the way Jacob says this. He says, Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Now here they are. He's seeing what they have done. So their swords and all their weapons and their vessels which they went into the house and stole, and they come in and dug down the foundation. This young man's house, and they went in, they acted violently. Actually, one of the Hebrew words that is used for this is that they hewed the horses or the cattle. They would go in, they not only killed the men, the women, the children, but they went in and took their swords and their spears, and they would cut the hamstrings of the animals, and they would leave the animals there, the cattle and the oxen and the horses. They were such a rage. They was in such a rage and such anger. They were acting like animals. Wow, you folks is quiet tonight. And God looked at that and he anointed Jacob and he said, because you've done this, you will be scattered among the tribes of Israel. You will lose your identity. You acted like heathens, not my kids. Now, can you imagine? They are so angry. Not only them, but the men that they get under. You know how spirits are. The men that went with them, they all went berserk. They're killing people. They're killing innocent people. And then they go to the animals. And they go to hacking the hamstrings on the animals. And they leave them poor animals there to bleed to death. What did the animals do? So if this was your tribal father, how would you deal with this? Hang your head in shame and say, well, I guess I'm ruined. I don't guess I shouldn't even go to church. I'm not sure the saints even over in the fellowship hall would want me over there with them. My daddy done this, my mama done this. Ain't no need for me to even go. Praise the Lord. Or you can be like Moses. Or you can be like Aaron. Or you can be like Phineas. And say, Levi wasn't my daddy. But that ain't in me to do what he does. Will you bear his shame and reproach? Yep, you may do it, but you can prove you're different than Levi.
Amen.
Now notice in verse 7, cursed be their anger. Isn't it amazing that Jacob curses the deed, the sin, and not the sinner? Oh, praise God. He don't say, curse me, Simeon, and curse me, Levi, but curse me their anger, for it was fierce.
Amen.
Now, friends, this is what I tell you. Does God know that as human beings we're going to get angry at things at times? Sure. But the Scripture gives us a line, a boundary, be angry and sin not. You can correct your children in anger, excessive anger. You understand? It very much displeases God when you do it. Preachers can correct congregations, whether it's pastors or evangelists, in this excessive exuberation. Oh my, they have such a zeal. They want the people of God to be so right they can get in the flesh. Come on now, don't get quiet. And it's good to be angry at sin and angry at the devil, but don't grit your teeth at me because I ain't the devil.
Right.
Praise the Lord. I don't mind a preacher preaching on me. Tell me. Let me have it. But don't grit them teeth at me now. Don't throw me in hell. And when you get done burning me up, give me a big tub of Vaseline. Rub it in on me. Come on now. Now notice what he said. Curse be their anger, for it was fierce. And their wrath, it was cruel. Now listen to these words prophetically. I will divide them in Jacob. And scatter them in Israel.
Yes, amen.
They will get no parcel of ground with their name written on it. Neither Simeon nor Levi will get any portion of ground from Beersheba to here to there to there to there to there. This is your tribal inheritance. You're ruined. You'll be scattered from this point on. You'll wander among Judah. And you'll wander among the rest of your brothers. And you'll never get an inheritance. That'd be pretty discouraging if you believed prophecy. You understand? So what would you have done if you'd have been born in the tribe of Levi? But all of a sudden, one day, you was upon a mountain feeding sheep. And while you're sitting there minding your own business, you're nobody anyway, you can't take care of nothing, you're murdered down in Egypt, and you're born of the tribe of Levi, how can God ever use you? And whoosh, and a bush catches on fire. And then a voice goes to talking to you out of that bush and say, I've called you to go down and deliver my people. And you're thinking, me? Do you know what tribe I belong to? Do you not remember what Jacob, our father, prophesied against us? You want me to gather? How can I gather people when I'm going to belong to a scattered tribe? That don't even make any sense. You're going to send a man to gather the elect when he himself, his origination is from a scattered group? You see what I'm saying, friends? When God prophetically prophesies to your soul, there is nothing. There is nothing that can stop it. And if he is, it's not contrary to what he's already said here. Praise be to God. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them. Now this is not their patriarchal father saying this so much, but God.
Yes.
I will.
Amen.
I will. Notice back in Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 8. Out of Levi, he said. This is Moses now. Must have been kind of peculiar, wasn't it? Because Moses is speaking about himself inclusive in this tribe. And of Levi, he said, thy Thummim and thy Urim. Now the Hebrew word for Levi is derived from the word to adhere or to be glued to. You see, this is what Leah said when she gave birth to Levi. And she said, now will my husband be glued to me. Remember, he had two wives. And he loved Rachel better. So Leah named him glued to. The mystery of his life was hid in his name. But yet it would seem as if though his own character would destroy the mystery. Well, Lord have mercy. I wish somebody hear me tonight. Don't you look at yourself, look at your past, and look at you as a human being. It would seem as if though your own human nature, your own human makeup, your first marriage, it would seem as if though all of that would override. Oh no, he has made a way. He has made a way. The very name Levi will come to its core. Hallelujah to God. It will come to its correct meaning. It will not be Leah joined to Jacob, but Levi will be the glue that will join God to Israel. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, it may look like in the eyes of the devil, even in the eyes of the people, they're ruined, they're finished, but never remember, whatever God does, it must harmonize with that original prophecy. I will scatter you. So if God wanted priests in every corner of the land of Israel, he will take this prophecy, Brother Paul, and use men like Moses. Notice, it's not God turning this around. It's people anointed with the Spirit of God. It would seem as if though they're changing their destiny. Only actually what's happening is their destiny isn't being made manifest in time by their character. Their destiny will rise above the failures of their founding father. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Aren't you glad God lets you and your destiny rise above your earthly daddy or your earthly mama or maybe a pastor you sat under somewhere? Come on, children. Aren't you glad God, by his power, is prophetically speaking to the bride, amen, to find her true identity? God can't break this word now. But he can anoint men with his own breath, which is inspiration. You see, when God brought himself on the earth in the form of a man, God never used the egg from Mary and the life from himself. He used the egg from himself by creation and the life from himself, which is the exact same thing he done in you. Amen. Lord have mercy. I seen that this morning and wrote that down. I like to tore the hide off my couch down in the basement. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. This is why the new birth is divine nature. It's God in you, the seed, and God, the Spirit, coming on that seed. The whole thing, it ain't you and God coming together. It's God and God coming together. It's God, the Amen. It's God, the seed word, and God, the Holy Ghost, quickening that seed in you. It wasn't God and Mary. It was God and God. Oh, I don't want to go that way. That's for this weekend. Oh, my. Glory to God. How is God's favor going to be recovered? How can God's favor be recovered if it was lost by a man? Amen. Cannot a man recover it? a God-inspired man. Now, Levi might have tried different things to try to do it. But if they were not prophetically inspired by the very breath of God, it would never bring the restoration or the recovery of God's favor. Would you see what denominational moves do? People go, oh, we need to do the border. America needs a revival. We need a revival. Let's all have a revival. You don't have a revival like that. God's the only one that sends revival. No matter how many men might have tried to say, we've got to get God's favor back. I know God saw this, but somehow, one day a little child was born. And he had the predestinated seed in him. Right? Why cry speak? That's what he said in 1963. So here he is born at the right season. And he feels inspired, seemingly, to go against prophecy. He's not of Judah. He's not of Benjamin, which Jacob says there's wonderful things about. Oh, he's like a ravening wolf. He's not like Joseph, but they shot all their arrows after him. And the mighty God of Jacob come in and delivered him. And the stone of Israel done this and that. He's born in a tribe that God said, I'll scatter you. So pretty much all you know is you're scatterbrained. I mean scattered. You're just scattered here and there, and you ain't never going to amount to much. Unless, of course, God could have one to stand in the breach and recover his favor. Don't you understand? We was born. Don't you understand? We were born out of God's favor in the natural birth. But God himself came in the form of a man. And what did he do? He regained, recovered that favor that Adam lost in the sight of God. That we might be, amen, that we might be accepted in the beloved. Amen, friends. We have favor in God's eyes tonight. Hallelujah. So hear his destiny. A supernatural meaning of his name. That his mother may be having even carnal intentions. It doesn't say that Leah was inspired of God. But Leah's reasoning is, I'm jealous of my sister because I can tell Jacob likes her better than me. Well, that's what you get when you practice polygamy in the first place. Praise the Lord. I've never understood some of these preachers in the message who want to practice it. I think, Lord, have mercy. They got to be nuts. Come on. Well, I figured at least some of you sisters would say amen to that. It wasn't nothing but a big fuss and a big argument, and then she couldn't have him, and therefore then she gave him her maid, and she gave him her maid. It was all about reproducing. Leah did not have this great intention. Oh, I'm so spiritual. But you imagine maybe, why are you going to call him? Just a little inspiration said, Leva. Now I know my husband will come to me now more often. He's going to love me more than Rachel. Lord, that God, hallelujah. God embedded the mystery of his name. Wonder if Satan didn't hear it that day. Wonder what it was that God had done to Levi that showed him special favor. And Satan tried his best to stop it. Look at you. Look at how many times in your life you should have died. You should have been killed in a car wreck. This happened to you. That happened to you. You know, what was it that happened in our lives, Brother Terry, that God somehow give us a little special favor? And the devil, if he couldn't mess you up in your life and try to take you, then he tried to get you messed up in adultery, or try to get you to do this and that and the other. And all along, he had apparently had seen something that God had given some special favor. What was it he had done to Levi? And now the devil says, I'll make him so mad, I'll ruin this forever. And God says, no, you won't. Amen. And you imagine when the devil was there that day when old Jacob laid his hand on Levi and he said, curse be your anger. I'll divide you and Jacob. scatter you in Israel. Satan said, took care of that one too. And God never said nothing else for years. Hundreds of years. And then the edict of Pharaoh comes. Them folks are getting too many of them over there. We better do something about it. Let's kill all the firstborn, or let's kill these boys. It's so old. And you remember the law that he come by. Here comes Miriam of the tribe of Levi. Her mama Jochebed. The daddy Amram. Levi, 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 Levi. And Levi, every one of them had their own pattern of claws. And you imagine, she said, God, save my child. The Spirit of God inspiring her. Don't you let them have your baby. Why, God, I'm a Levite. I'm born of Levi. We'll never amount to nothing. Don't you let them have your baby. Build an ark. Build an ark. Hallelujah. You imagine setting them down under them crocodiles in the Nile, come down through there, and the devil thinking, my, what in the world is going on here? I thought this tribe of Levites, they don't need to worry about him. He's a Levite. He won't never amount to nothing. But he seen that was Gabriel moving four or five crocodiles over to the left, and here was Wormwood, kick one right in the mouth. When he come right, and they said, hey, wait a minute, I better pay some attention to this here. What in the world is going on here? And all of a sudden, you come down this little ark, headed right down to her. Hallelujah. Right down to the headquarters in Egypt. What was God going to do? God was going to put this blessed son that same like prophecy was against. But it was the breath of God inspiring this deliverer. And what was the cloth this deliverer was wrapped in? It was the cloth of Levi. The people say what they want. Let them make fun of the bride. Let them curse her. Let them do whatever they want to do. But the cloth that the bride is wrapped in is the cloth of the word that God gave to a vindicated prophet of Malachi 4. It'll be that very cloth that'll get us out of here. We're not ashamed that it's inside of our ark tonight. We're not ashamed. That's what we're identified with. You sisters, would you have faith? To believe your child could amount to something out of a tribe that looked like was cursed? Would it seem like he's working against prophecy? Without understanding, it would have. But God wouldn't be inspiring you to do it if it's against prophecy, if it's against the word. Well, glory, I know y'all looking at me funny. I mean, the destiny of this man would never be reached. His name would never come to full magnification under the person who was named this. It would not be the person Levi that would stand in this position of glue and glue God and the bride together. He would never live to the height of his name. He never done it between his mom and daddy, and he wouldn't do it between God and Israel. The allocation was given to his tribe. Glory. Do you understand, friends? And Brother Branham is here. Oh, I can't imagine how Brother Branham would have loved to took a preaching tour. I went over down to Brother Tim Pruitt's and had a week revival or two, whatever.
That's right.
Preaching the message in a message church. Then went over to Brother Jason Watkins and went to Brother Mike Price and went to Brother Daniel Gissendanner. Went over to Brother Tim Burdett and went all these places. And then come up here amongst you a bunch of holy rollers.
Yeah.
Here at Happy Valley. Can you imagine us sitting here under the ministry of the prophet of God and hearing him pray these things and not have to cut no corners? And I'd sit back there with him, Brother Branham, don't cut no corners. Say what's on your heart. Preach whatever God gives you. Can you imagine him walking out here, good evening, friends, and being able to preach the message to a people that knows that's Malachi 4. That's the fulfillment of Luke 17:30. But the majority of his preaching was where? Among the Pentecostals and the full gospel businessmen. Oh, hallelujah! Why? The time frame of the ministry of the word had not walked into that full thing. Hold on and listen to me carefully. The message has got more impact right now than what it did when Brother Branham himself was here. Why? It had to be that way. Not because of me, not because of you, but because God allocated it to be so. You will be divided and you will be scattered. Now God came. Oh, wait a minute. I changed my mind on that. But God can take what has been said, use human beings in between the time the prophecy was made and before it's starting to be fulfilled. Now we're seeing Moses fixing to go off the scene this day, the very day he's given this prophecy, or the next morning. And now Levi is starting to come into that spot. And they got to be positionally placed by the prophet before he leaves. Hallelujah to God. What if he hadn't have done this? What if he hadn't repositioned Levi? Where did it come from, Brother Darrell? Joshua? No. What's it, the Amorites, the Hittites? Did they all get together to sign? I'll tell you what, brothers, I think that we need to allow Levi, God's prophet. God's prophet. You imagine tens of thousands of them are still under the assumption that Levi is nothing. Wonder if this is where some of the people, Dathan, Korah, some of them, Abiram, and some of them begin to look at all this stuff. We remember some of them were Reubenites. Can you imagine them having these quotes against them? Moses has may raise himself up to be something. What according to the word of God? They're supposed to be scattered. You want to follow that scatterbrain guy? God ain't never told us no different. But God told Moses. Which must have kind of put him in an odd spot, since his tribe was one of the ones that was down on, and yet nobody was there whenever God told him that. There wasn't 2,500 witnesses up on top of the mountain when God wrote the Ten Commandments and all these and thous and do's and don'ts. There wasn't nobody there except for Moses, so we still have to take his word for it that it actually happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. Was any of y'all there when the Ten Commandments was wrote? Was any of the children of Israel there? Y'all believe the Ten Commandments? You believe they come from God based on one man's word? Really? All the do's and the don'ts and all these things that was written based on that one man's word? You're going to take somebody's word. Why not take the word of a vindicated prophet? Oh, people, well, bless God, them idiots over at Happy Valley, they're following a man. We don't deny that. Everybody's following some man, but we're following one that God spoke through. I don't deny it. I'm not a bit ashamed to let folks know I'm following a man. You're following a man or a woman, one. Well, praise the Lord. And it just so happens to be that it's a tribe that it seemed like is cursed. And now they're raising themselves above everybody else. Whew. Oh, that fried stuff, it makes me sick. We're all the same. All the church and all the foolish version. There's no difference in the church and the bride. Oh, but there is.
a world of difference. Look at the providence of God. He cannot change His word. But He can supernaturally inspire individuals of this tribe. And the divine providence of God so inspired them to rise above seemingly what they shouldn't even have. And all they know is they've become anointed. Listen now. And they were the word of the hour. Lord Jesus. Do you understand? The very word of prophecy that was going to raise Levi was written in Moses' life. It was written in Aaron's life. What was it that moved on Phinehas when he went over and grabbed a hold of that javelin and run through that adulterer? What was it? The word of that hour. Written in Phinehas' life. Lord Jesus. What is God using? God is using men to redeem the tribe of Levi. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 8. And at that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi. Bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord. To stand before the Lord, to minister unto Him, to bless in His name. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures in all the entire Bible is from the book of Numbers. And Moses tells them, Levites, preachers, may the Lord, he said, tell them to tell this and put God's name on the children of Israel. May the Lord make His face to shine upon thee. May the Lord bless thee. A people that seemed like could never amount to nothing, and God gave them the power of His name. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause His face to shine upon thee and give thee peace. That didn't come from the lips of Judah. That did not come from the lips of Issachar. It came from the lips of the men of God that seemingly was the most cursed. Now let's face facts and be realistic. One of the most cursed groups that there is that follows this message is the preachers. Among a lot of the tape folks and the people that believe this message, they just about spit on preachers. They ain't got no good for preachers. But I'll tell you one thing. One of these days, you're going to find out just how important they are. It'll be too late. Notice this in verse 9. Wherefore Levi hath no part, no inheritance with his brethren. But here's the key. The Lord is his inheritance. What changed this? Jacob never said this. Now let's check Moses by the word. Moses, I want scripture for that. Since this happens to be your tribe. You believe it? Are you sure? Now you believe this coming from a man who belongs to the tribe of Levi, saying that his tribe is above everybody else. It's like a bride preacher saying bride's above everybody else. Yep, that's the way we do it. It takes somebody that's there to be able to say it by revelation. Now you imagine to adventure out and say such a thing. It would seem as if though it was contrary to prophecy. You understand? God's the
they'll be scattered. God never said by Jacob the Lord was his inheritance. You know, it's sort of like God saying, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. You wasn't saved on any certain day, but you always was saved. You see, the people around the message who question those quotes, if they lived in the days of Moses, they'd have questioned this quote. Same type of people. The Lord is his inheritance. Ask according as the Lord thy God promised. No. Whoa. The Lord thy God promised him. Through who? Not through Jacob. Where was the first promise of God ever dealing with Levi in this way? Moses, a Levite.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, of course, the children of Israel said, it's all politics. Look at it. The whole thing is family. He's the prophet. His brother's the high priest. When his brother dies, all of his descendants is going to be... Who even plays the tambourine at the church? Miriam, his sister. And now they've even made another spiritual place for her. She's now called a prophetess. The whole thing is family. And they say that now that they got to have special singers. And you know who the singers come from? Levites. You know who gets to carry the ark? Levites. You know who gets to go before the presence of God? Levites. I'm sick of that stuff. Isn't it amazing how God, when he makes the elect live the word in front of the unbelievers, it can be so difficult and seem that you're taking so much on yourself. Now you imagine as a man, it'd been much easier for Moses said, Judah will be the one in the ark, and Judah will be doing this, and Reuben will do this, and this will do that, and that'll do that. Lord, please don't let it be my family. Please. Our father Jacob didn't say nothing good about us. They're going to think I'm adding to the word. And when I tell them, the bride never sinned in the first place, they're going to think I'm nuts, Lord. Glory! And of course, Aaron and Miriam were just all shouting and playing the tambourine. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Reuben and all the rest of them just sitting there mattering a hornet. Look at them, bunch of holy rollers. Bunch of prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Well, what can you take? They got hog on their brain. They got hog on their breasts. Yeah, that's all they are. They don't know nothing about boy. Me and Brother Will need to sit down and teach them how to work their way to salvation. Glory to God. Levi has no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance. According as the Lord thy God promised him. Imagine someone sitting there, what verse of scripture is it? You remember Jacob ever saying that? You remember? Moses looking at him, saw this smile. You remember? I sure don't. I believe he made that up. It makes me so sick. I'll tell you what, I get so sick of me too. Hallelujah. Glory. You think men of God don't see that?
Amen.
Oh my. Let's go back now to chapter 33, verse 8. and of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One. Up to this time, every time these two words are used together, they're used in exact opposite order. Urim and Thummim. But leave it, of course, to a Levite to turn things around. And watch how possessive he makes it to Levi. Let thy Thummim, not God's. He's acting as though thought belongs to them. Thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. It took real inspiration for this man of God to stand there and say such things. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you one thing, friends. I believe we need the same thing to stand and say today. The bride ain't the church. And the church ain't the bride. They're not heirs together. They'll not go together in the rapture. They're different. Notice Levi's zeal is so projected. Through Moses, through Aaron, through Phinehas. One man brought this curse upon this sin. You'll be dispersed. Could God not God use one and another and another and another to restore his favor and bring them to such a place that God would say, now my word has done one out. You all can't own a lot of acreage. Y'all can't own a lot of things out here. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make you. You can be mine and I'll be yours. I'll be your portion. How's that? Children, let me close. Don't you see why Laodicea can be so wrapped up with the world and its goods and its riches? We've got to have a living, sure, and God wants us to provide for our families and what? God wants us to do all of that. God don't want his bride to be worldly minded. God don't want us to have our roots so settled down in this world that we'd be disappointed if the rapture were to come tomorrow. He wants us to live every day as if though today will be the day. Why? Because he is our portion. Laodicea is not my inheritance. Come on, Laodicea is not my inheritance. The Lord is my portion. Risk being ridiculed, made fun of, all that sort of thing, that's perfectly fine. Prophecy has anointed me. The voice of God, the breath of God has anointed the bride to say Laodicea is not your inheritance. I am your portion. Hallelujah. Notice one of the reasons now why God has given to them the allocation of the priesthood and the ability to stand and be the glue between him and the nation of Israel. Their zeal. Not just election. Not just predestination. But their zeal. What zeal do you have for God? His house, his word, his plans of what he wants us to do in this hour. Not just election. We believe in that. We believe in predestination. But you look at these blessings that God is going to give. How's God going to turn this around? By people who were inspired. And they rose above what would seem like such negative things. So what if the Bible said there'll be a man by the name of Gene Lehman and he'll be married to Janet and they'll have so many children and such and such and so and so.
He'll be sorry, rotten, no good for nothing outfit. Don't nobody have nothing to do with him. I'll tell you one thing. A real seed of God would look at that and say, you know what? I didn't realize there's another Gene Lehman in the world and married to a Janet and had all them kids. Because if God's inspiring that man's soul to eternal life, there ain't no way God would say he's damned and God calling on him to eternal life. If the Word of God said Donald E. Reagan Jr. born July the 9th, 1956, so on and so on and so on and so on, I'd read that in the Scripture every time I read it. I'd say, poor old fella, I don't know who that guy is, but I feel sorry for him. But he ain't talking about me. Because eternal life would not pull on me contrary to the Word of God. It was beyond Moses' understanding. Sure, you could say one of the tribes is so blessed of God, but this one's scattered. You wouldn't have a hard time seeing that the world would follow Billy Graham. You wouldn't have a hard time seeing that many of them follow Oral Roberts. But to see a message that has swept every nation under the earth, of a man that couldn't spell many of the words that he even said, many of the words he mispronounced, and he misquoted scriptures and dates and this and that and the other. He didn't even tell them exactly the same all the time. I'm not sure. I don't know what she was looking for in a prophet. I wasn't looking for a scientist. I wasn't looking for a grammatics teacher. I wasn't looking for some type of biology teacher. I needed a prophet. Praise the Lord. A simple, humble man that the world would look at. And when he went to his pastor and he said, you, with a seventh grade education, are going to pray for kings and monarchs, get next to yourself, Billy. But he said to me, it was Malachi 4. It was Luke 17:30. Revelation 10. I've read to you a dozen or more evidences. This is the generation that will see Jesus Christ return to the earth to 1965. This day. This scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. You in California, you in Arizona, you on the West Coast, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. The bride called it, others heard it, bunch of nonsense. Others got around it for years and years. And then you know what? I found too many faults. I found too many mistakes. I can't follow this stuff. I can't do it. Why? They're all damned. They're all going to hell. It's a cult. He's the one. We have to take his word for the angels. We have to take his word for the mountain. We have to take his word for all this stuff. That sounds familiar, don't it? Praise the Lord. So if you want me to give this up, what do you got for me to take on to? You want me to give this up? What have you got better to offer me? That's what I thought. So I think I'll stay with where I am. Glory! Glory! Is it any wonder down through the church ages it was sufficient to call the body of believers church, 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 church? In order for you to come to a higher spot, you had to be called by a different name. So when the seals come open, he says, I no longer will call you church, but I'll call you bride. You had to move into your name. You had to move into your name. Levi could not manifest the name Levi, but the descendants had to manifest the name. There's been churches, churches, brides, brides, churches, churches, brides, brides. But there must come one that'll have both mechanics and dynamics. Not only quotes and scriptures, but the true baptism of the Holy Ghost that'll make that word live. Let them prophesy evil. Let them do whatever they want to do. We're walking right into a body change. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love him. Amen.
Praise God. With all your hearts, let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Oh God, if your very being couldn't be moved by such supreme devotion of men that you would inspire to raise their tribe to the manifestation of their fullness and the real meaning of their name against all odds. Lord Jesus, we see how and why you would use a man that the majority of the world would laugh at. Theologians today, if they'd ever dare to listen to any of his tapes, oh my, 15, 20 minutes, they'd probably think, oh my goodness. But yet, Lord, we don't hear the voice of a Kentuckian. We hear God using Kentucky language. You spoke Hebrew, I reckon you can speak Kentuckian or Spanish or French or whatever language you want to speak. But Lord, it's the voice behind the voice that got our attention. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've called a people scattered, dispersed. Lord, we're just like Levi was, scattered and dispersed. Even when they come into the land, they're dispersed among the people. And they get 48 cities by which they're able to live in. So many in the south, so many in the east, so many in the west, and so many in the north are just scattered. That's the way the bride is. The bride scattered among all of them. Well, Lord, we look at many of us, and some Baptist, some Pentecostal, some Church of God, some Catholic, some Lutheran, some just out there in the world. That's the way we were, a scattered people. But you used a prophet to be able to speak words that would tell us, you can't have Laodicea now, you can't dress like them, and you can't look like them, but I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll give them up, I'll let you have me. Hallelujah. Lord, we know the way Laodicea thinks. They want Laodicea and they want you too. But you don't work that way. You put it to us and we gladly made the trade. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What in the world if I owned all of Hollywood? If I owned the world? If I owned it all, Lord, what good would it do? It was rich millionaires, singers, or famous actors, whatever more. What good would it do when the rapture takes place? Lord, when 1/10 of the earth is fixing to fall in, a chunk 300 to 400 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, will fall 40 miles down into the Salton Sea. And the tidal waves will be so bad, they didn't call it tsunamis in that day, but tidal waves, it'll shoot plumb back to Kentucky. Lord, we know the Pacific is the largest body of water. When that chunk breaks off and slides down under the other one, Lord, the earth will shake and rock. Oh, hide us, blessed Rock of Ages. We'll be so glad that our portion is Christ when the rapture takes place. We'll be so glad we've laid aside the things of the world and the habits of the world. We're a called out people. Let them ridicule. Let them make fun. Let them laugh. Who was it that helped bring Levi to their place? A vindicated prophet. Amen. Amen. God spoke his words of mystery, of the mystery of Levi's life, through the words of the prophet of God. Levi's mystery laid in obscurity for hundreds of years. Seemed as if though that never amount to a thing. But the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I think that day in June, glory be to God. Hallelujah! When that little baby boy was born there in Kentucky, and that light come and stood in that cabin when they opened up that wooden window for the mama to see her baby, and that light come in. Hallelujah! What was it? God again was sending a prophet to call out a people, to bring to them a message so they could see who they were. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Oh, not so much Levites, not so much Gadites or Reubenites, but the bride of Jesus Christ. A message to call her out. Separate her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. When that little boy was packing water to the moonshine still, you come down and appeared in that tree. Glory to God. Don't never smoke nor drink nor defile your body, for there'll be a work for you to do when you get older. On and on and on. You want to reveal yourself. Oh, they loved him for his gifts. But Lord, it wasn't gifts that he left to us. He didn't leave a college, a Branham College. There's no bridges named after him. There's no highways named after him. He didn't leave us a university. He left us a message. A message. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. A message that is so full of the deity and the power of God. If time would go on for another 1,000 years, preachers would still be preaching the truths that lay in this great truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, blessed Father. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. I wasn't there that day, though, Lord. It wasn't that far from where I was born and raised all my life. I've stood there on that little hill where his cabin used to stand. I've been there several times. I've been there, Lord, where the fish was resurrected, stood right there with the fish, come back out of there, Lord, and rode a boat right over the spot, stood right there in the woods where the squirrels are created, got a piece of that tree in my den right now. I wasn't there when it happened. Lord, I don't need to be. I believe. I wasn't there when you thundered on Sinai, but I believe. I wasn't there when you rolled away the stone of the angels dead, but I believe you got up from the grave. I believe, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Out of obscurity, out of lowness and darkness. But yet, Lord, we have risen. Risen to the place. We're not Laodiceans. We're not blind. We're not wretched. We are clothed in your garments. You are our portion, Lord God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands just before we go for a little bit? Oh my. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord has promised it to you, children. You're his elect. You're his called out. Don't expect the world to understand you. Don't expect them to pat you on the back. They'll hate you. They'll reject you as we go on. We'll be more hated than we are now. That's to be expected. It's always been. But we must take our position and stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, we bless your name tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for looking beyond all that was against us, Lord. All that riding of my sins that was against me. That first marriage that I was united to by my nature. Praise God. Glory to God. But you made a way where Satan could never unite with that seed of yours. But nature, give me an allotment when I drew the breath of life. And by that drawing of the breath of life, I became an adulteress. Married by the first birth, the natural marriage certificate. And that's why that little seed could lay there dormant. Glory to God. Satan couldn't get to it. He couldn't quicken it. It was only germatized to the Holy Ghost. So churches couldn't touch it. Religion couldn't touch it. It could lay there, Lord God. Hallelujah. Buried. Oh, hallelujah. But there must be an agreement to where my natural nature would agree that I needed to be born again. And when I agreed, grace come to me. The grace of God which brought salvation. And my nature agreed. And that old nature died. And when it died, I was born again. I was born again. Not that same old person remade. It was a new person. A person that never done them sins. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. That's why the prophet could come and tell us, you never done it in the first place. Because that person that we are now is not the same person that we were. Glory to God, but we are changed. As that prodigal son, he wasn't the same boy. He was in the same body, but he was not the same boy. He had a different attitude about daddy. He had a different attitude about himself. He had a different attitude about the world. He was not the same boy that left. He was different. So are we, Lord. We're changed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. I shall forever lift mine eyes. Hallelujah. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad some of you were so far down, the devil probably thought you was even too far for help. Some of your family thought you was too far beyond redemption. But the Lord Jesus come and took your place that he might be able to raise you up and gave you what? Himself. Himself. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Lord willing, I'll see you this weekend. Let's come expecting the Lord to speak to us again. Oh my, I tell you, I've just been having a time studying the Word for the last little bit. It just seemed like it just seemed like it's exploded. I was trying to thank the Lord the other day as I sat in Monday in the motel studying and just going back through the things, and I just wanted to stop studying for a few minutes, and I just started, Lord, I just want to thank you. Seemed like for the last, and I just started thinking, how long has it been the last? I thought, no, I can't say weeks. And I thought, I can't say months. And I got thinking, I just said, Lord, I don't know how long it's been, really. It just seemed like this word has just blowed wide open. And I got thinking, ain't that wonderful that it's so, you can't even really think, last 2 weeks, the last 3 months, the last. I consider myself a blessed individual. I don't know about you. Oh my, I am so happy to be a part of this Word. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Oh my, let's sing it together again as we go. Amen. You are not this because of your works. You are not this because of your goodness, but you are this because one came and restored divine favor back upon you. You were that Shulamite that lived in the high country of the mountains. And you look at where her origination was. It was in the dens of the leopards. It was in the poor rocky places where there hardly any grass grew. No wonder she struggled within herself trying to understand how she was worthy. And they say that Solomon was on a journey in the northern part of the country. And this little Shulamite girl was out tending sheep. Her family was so poor they couldn't afford to have an under shepherd. So the daughter was the shepherd. And Solomon came by in all of his caravans. Imagine the king with all of his beautiful garments and all of his jewels and gold and all the people that was around him. And now here stands this little girl with the shepherd's crook. But her beauty was so profound that his heart was captured. His heart was captured. Glory to God. That's why he wrote about her and said, "Turn away your eyes. One of your eyes has taken my heart." Glory to God. Oh, that's the way we was out there in the world and doing this and that. And then what'd he do? He renamed her. Shulamite is the feminine form of Solomon. Solomon, which means peace. So he's the prince of peace. She's the princess of peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we still have a hard time. We still sit at the table and we still flush. We still get embarrassed when he talks about his love for us. And it's still hard for us to comprehend. But as long as he's saying it, I'm trying my best to believe it. Praise the Lord. Do I comprehend it? Do I know? I don't. But I know he don't lie. Amen. They say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. That ain't always the truth. You know, sometimes the beauty is transferred to the eyes of the one who is sitting there when they don't just see it themselves, but they're listening so much to their lover that he begins to change their view of their own being. It's in the eyes of the beholder, Christ the Word, but you're not going to go on a body change as long as the beauty is just in his eyes. Somehow he must transmit by divine providence to be able to help you and I see this is not worthy of the rapture, but this seed is. This is not worthy to embody the seed of God, but that gene of God is a part of him. It is eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Rise, Levi. Rise to your place. Those of you that are called to pack the instruments, pack them. Those of you that are called to carry the ark, carry it. Those of you that are called to minister in His presence, minister. Do what you're called to do, Queen of Heaven. For no one can take your place.
Whew. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. God bless you. Oh.